Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Do the Kings need to diversify those who take the shots towards the end of the game? Styles and Watkins. And Watkins,
yo,
not really digging Styles. I don't want to put words in your mouth because I said a lot, as I typically do, and we were up against a break. So what part that I said about basically the end of the game did you not agree with?
I just think that that's, again, a product of NBA basketball. I just think NBA basketball, the last 5 minutes, our stars have the ball in their hands and they make the decisions. Mm-hmm. And whether we like it or not, whether it's the best form of basketball or not, I think it kind of doesn't matter, because that's just kind of how it is. Is De'Aaron Fox is going to have the ball in his hands. Every decision is going to be his. And if not his, it's going to be Malik's or Sabonis's. And it's just ends up becoming a really free-flowing game at that point. Like, there's not really much of offenses.
Like, it's
a lot of
almost like pickup. Yeah.
Yeah, it just becomes hunting mismatches. And, you know, that's why De'Aaron was so great in the clutch last year. Is he would just expose mismatches. They would get screened or screen on him until they would get switches, and then De'Aaron would expose the mismatch. But I just don't think that you're ever going to see the Kings running their motion, you know, high-low, Sabonis dribble handoff offense with 3 to 2 minutes to go in the game.
I do think that's something that doesn't get talked about enough. So if you are a fan just watching the game, it's something that you just have to pick up on, right? Yeah. It's almost unspoken.
I mean,
I don't think Coach is ever going to say, yeah, no, we typically stop running our offense at the five-minute mark.
Not.
But they do.
Yeah.
Right? But they do. And
gotta
honestly,
go let the athletes be athletes.
On the other side of things, Eric Gordon, there was it was just a complete mess and everybody was wide open. Eric Gordon, I think, had at least two threes during that
two
run.
Two threes and, in a minute stretch.
And both threes I thought were bad shots because it wasn't Kevin Durant or Devin Booker.
Right.
And he made them.
Yep.
But on the opposite side of that, I can't – do I – if in reality, especially the way he's been shooting, I know he shot well in Milwaukee. In reality, and not just me, fans in general, is it easy – now, if the question is De'Aaron Fox good enough, that's what we're going to kind of get into. And at this point, we're just going to roll it into – roll it into the roundtable anyway. But you say that about De'Aaron Fox, okay? Now think about who the other options are on the team. There's 2 minutes left in a game, and we had callers, oh, Kevin Huerter this, blah, blah, blah. No. De'Aaron Fox kicks out to Kevin Huerter.
Yep.
Do you actually want Kevin Huerter shooting the ball with under 3 minutes left right now?
If he's open, I do. I still do, yeah. If he's open, that's what he's on the floor to do. So he better do it. I mean, and he better make
it.
Well,
that's
the key.
I don't. And we haven't.
I mean, there's
got
to be five guys out there.
But
though.
We haven't seen it though. But now you're going back on what I was saying.
Well,
though.
No, I was saying earlier, everything runs through De'Aaron,
sure.
Malik, Sabonis. The other guys are just out there to make the play if it comes to
them.
And that's why Keegan is never going to be ISO'd in the last 3 minutes of the game. He's going to be out there because they're going to forget about him, focusing so much on De'Aaron, on Malik, on Sabonis in the pick and roll, that they're going to leave Keegan Murray open. And that's what Keegan Murray's out there to do. Hopefully, the same happens with Kevin Huerter, and he gets left open. And hopefully, Kevin, please,
Kevin,
he makes the shot.
What about Harrison Barnes?
I mean, that's a loss.
But that's
cause.
What's crazy
that's a loss
to me.
Cause, brother. Come on.
That's why this is a problem. All guests and callers join us from the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. You know who's going to get us back on track.
Who?
And he's ready. And he's been waiting.
Will. Sweet Will. Sweet
Willie is on the call. What you got for us, Willie?
What's up, Styles and Watkins? Hey, man, look. Here's the deal. It's not our score, man. We be 20 points up on teams. It's our lackadaisical defense. It's turnovers. It's not Brown. I've never seen Brown call a timeout and do a strategy or write a play or whatever. And then my boy, you know, I love Fox and Domas, but those guys are too casual on defense. They're too casual, just like on the shot that Dame hit. You know, Dame go, you can't let Dame take that shot, man. You cannot. Everybody knows you can't let Dame take the last shot. What happened? They came down there, and Fox, the defense was kind of weak, man. The defense was weak, and then he let him bury the three. But the thing is, man, it's not the points. It don't matter who shoot the last shot. The point is they never should have got – they was up 22.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, Styles, you guys know it, man. You guys know what's up. Look, they do not cherish the ball. See, we need a vocal leader on that team like a Marcus Smart or Draymond, somebody who's vocal, who get in guys' butts. You know, we too casual. We make too many – how many turnovers did we have last night?
Too many.
It was a lot. Let me see here. I got it right here. The Kings had 14 turnovers. Honestly, it's about the timing of the turnovers, Willie, because exactly. the Suns had more. They had 16.
They did. But you're right. It's the timing, and it's like they're unprovoked turnovers. A lot of them. They just throw the ball away. Or, you know, they dribble off a knee or something, you know. It's mind-boggling that they should have won both those games, and they lost them both on missed free throws and turnovers. You up by 20. Were they up by 20 in the fourth?
22. Were they still up by 22 with 8 minutes left.
You see what I'm saying, man? See, it don't matter who take the last shot. They should have never got to that.
Yeah, agreed.
You know, that's what's frustrating, you know. I mean – and then, like I say, you see, y'all get on me. Y'all get on me when I be telling you about HB. See, HB have a good game. He'll tease us. He make us, we get back in line. But HB is done, man. He have no legs.
But yeah. they're going to
guard nobody.
I know. They're going to keep putting him out there, Willie. They're going to keep putting him out there. Thanks for the call.
I'm looking at it here, too. Kings had, to your point about the timing of turnovers, Kings had 8 fourth quarter turnovers.
8 fourth quarter turnovers. So they had over half of their turnovers in one quarter.
Yeah.
They had 14 on the whole night.
3 from Malik, 2 surprisingly from Alex Len, 1 from De'Aaron, 1 from Domas, 1 from HB.
And again, getting back to the Coach Mike Brown thing, he called 2 between that 8 minute mark, and we can count. We don't necessarily have to count the last one, but we can. From the 8 minute mark to the end of the game, he called 3 timeouts, people. He called 3 timeouts.
Yep.
And this is not a young team. So.
And again, when Mike Brown talks about internal leadership, too, like Mike Brown's calling the timeouts. At that point, everybody's seeing the team collapse in front of their faces.
No.
Somebody on the floor's got to do something about it.
There's
right?
There's no play to draw up. The play is. Don't turn the ball over.
Right. What did Chris Biederman say yesterday? Sometimes not about the X's and O's, about the Jimmies and Joes.
The Jimmies and Joes. Right? And the Jimmies and Joes. I loved that, by the way. And the Jimmies and Joes did not know where to go last night. Got to get to a break. When we get back, continuing to discuss the Kings and the breaking down of the Kings, going to take a quick respite from the Kings to discuss ESPN Milwaukee sending out Bounty Gate on Brock Purdy as well. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Live and local. This is Sacktown Sports.
Clutch player of the year. Clutch, not so much. De'Aaron Fox. Chris, you have some numbers. Chris Watkins, Allen Styles, 2 p.m. That's where we're taking you. Chris has some numbers that sounds like the opposite. When you look up antonyms in the dictionary.
Good word.
There you go. That is what De'Aaron Fox is to what he was last season in the clutch.
Actually, funny enough, if you look at the clutch numbers, the Kings representative for clutch player of the year would be Malik Monk, and it's really not even close. But let's get to De'Aaron first. His clutch numbers, like you said, have just been absolutely terrible. I mean, frankly, they are horrible when you look at his clutch numbers, and I'm looking at the totals here, not even just the averages per game. De'Aaron is shooting 39% from the field in clutch situations.
From the field.
You don't even want to hear what he's shooting from three.
What? Let me guess.
Yeah, go ahead and guess.
Well, if he's shooting 39 from the floor. I don't know. I'll try to be nice.
I want to get in on this.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I'll say 22.
Yeah.
22?
26.
22%, 26%. Yeah. Those are good guesses. Those are actually really good guesses. It's wrong, but it's good guesses. De'Aaron is 0 of 13 in clutch situation threes. He is shooting 0%.
A donut?
Zero for 13 from three. Jeez. In clutch situations.
So 22 would be like 2?
22 would be an improvement. Yeah, it would be probably like 2 of 12.
Or 3. Yeah, in that, yeah.
I will counter that with Malik Monk. You guys were really close to Malik Monk's average. 5 of 18 from 3, Malik is in clutch situations. That's 27%.
Backsides get tight.
I wish I could tell you that De'Aaron's three-point number is the most concerning of all of his clutch numbers, but unfortunately, it gets worse.
How can it get worse?
0 from 13. When you look at his free throw numbers, unfortunately, the one number that you probably would have guessed would be a terrible number. Yes. De'Aaron in clutch situations, which, mind everybody out there, last 5 minutes of a five-point game or less.
Okay.
So that's a very, very important situation, especially at the free throw line. Mm-hmm. De'Aaron Fox at the free throw line in clutch situations this season is 12 of 20. 60% in clutch situations. So
that
pretty much...
That's Shaq.
He is Shaq in the clutch at the line right now. And that's your best... That's the guy who's getting to the free throw line more than anybody else. Malik Monk actually has 25 free throw attempts in the clutch.
Difference with Shaq,
though. Malik
shooting
in the clutch?
Malik's at least shooting 88%, which also hurts to know Malik has missed 3 clutch free throws all year. I believe all 3 were in that Milwaukee game.
Shaq at least is getting the dunk and the foul.
At least. At least. Right?
Like, so he's getting the 2, right?
Yeah, that's bad.
Just bad. And 6 turnovers, 7 assists, not great. Just really terrible numbers for De'Aaron in the clutch. For what it's worth, Sabonis is shooting 70% actually in the clutch, 12 of 17. He hasn't taken a 3 in the clutch. From the free throw line, Sabonis is actually more reliable than De'Aaron. Sabonis has been 12 of 17, 70% from the line in the clutch. Here's the big thing for Domas, 29 rebounds in the clutch, 9 of which have been offensive for Sabonis in clutch situations. That's actually crazy. And then I mentioned Malik Monk is probably the Kings' best representative for Clutch Player of the Year. Malik is shooting 47% from the field in clutch situations. I mentioned the 27% from 3, not great, 5 of 18. But from the free throw line, again, 22 of 25 with 12 assists and 4 turnovers in the clutch. So Malik actually pretty decent in the clutch. Maybe it's
bad.
Him. Maybe it's him who should have the ball in his hands.
That's bad, man.
It's not great. It's definitely not great. Especially, again, for your guy who is probably going to have the ball in his hands the most in those situations.
Wow.
Not ideal.
Wow. Well, look.
Not great.
At this moment in time, I think we're trying to figure out, and the rest of this season, assuming they don't make any moves. And honestly, you can make the argument even if they do make any moves. I think you have to figure out what you have in De'Aaron Fox as far as can he be 1A?
Sure.
On a championship team. I think he'd be 1A on a playoff team. He's already proved that he can be. But 1A on a team that can truly contend. If you go through the list now in your mind.
Okay, we're going to do it now.
Well, I'm just sure, right?
We're either doing it now or we're not.
Well, no, I mean...
You're already here, so we're doing it. We're doing it now. We're doing it.
Okay, you have Luka.
Yep.
And maybe we should only do guards. Maybe it's easier to just do guards.
No, we can do players. I think players is fine.
So you have Luka.
Yeah.
And I don't have anything written down
here. I'll just go to general points per game leaders. I mean, that'll probably give you at least the best sense of, you know, obviously the guys who their teams trust with the ball in their hands the most often. We have here... Joel Embiid.
I would
definitely say Joel Embiid is a player that I think, if healthy, he should be good enough to have out there.
Because that's the whole thing about this exercise. There are not a lot of 1A franchise guys.
Wojbomb, are we ready for breaking news?
Yeah.
Ready?
I want to hear it.
Oh, yeah, okay.
When it breaks,
we have it first.
It's Sactown Sports Breaking News.
All right, you want me to announce it?
I got it.
You guys got it. It's your show.
Breaking. from Woj, Woj Bomb. The Indiana Pacers are finalizing a trade to acquire all-star Pascal Siakam in a deal that will send Bruce Brown, Jordan Nwora, and three first-round picks to the Toronto Raptors. Aww. New Orleans will be a third team in the deal, sending Kira Lewis to the Raptors. It's done.
Wow.
You have Pascal Siakam to the Pacers to join Halle, who's not coming home. Pascal Siakam.
Hey, yeah, we get to see this on Thursday.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. What's today?
You think he'll play already?
Probably not. No, actually. Ah, but if anything, Kings definitely should win tomorrow because Pacers will be little shorthanded.
Yeah. This helps the Kings. But, yes, Pascal Siakam. We've been hearing rumblings all yesterday. Yeah. Pascal Siakam to the Pacers for Bruce Brown, Jordan Nwora, and three first-round picks.
Mm.
Goodness gracious. Three of them things. New Orleans will also be a part of the deal, be the third team sending Kira Lewis to the Raptors. Not sure what New Orleans is getting back in return. Obviously, it's something not huge. But Pascal Siakam is going to join Miles Turner and Tyrese Halliburton in Indiana.
Yeah. The thing that I'm most wrong about this trade is yesterday when we saw the initial reports that this was going to be a deal centered around Bruce Brown and three first-round picks with salary filler, my assumption was salary filler was a fancy word that people like to use for Buddy Hield. Mm-hmm. And it turns out it's not Buddy Hield. So I guess Buddy lives another day there in Indiana. I would be shocked if he's still there at the end of the trade deadline. But this is huge. I mean, this is obviously a massive, massive story as we've been tracking. How long's it been now? It's 4 years. Pascal Siakam has felt like
it's finally done.
He's been on the trade deadline. OG and a newbie. Pascal Siakam, both officially gone from Toronto. And, you know, I think this is obviously a ton for the Pacers to give up. They better hope that Pascal signs there long term. All indications, as we've been talking about for weeks now, is that Pascal's going to test free agency no matter where he goes. But on the other end of this, I will say to the Pacers' defense, this is a version of what I think the Kings did to get Domantas Sabonis. Mm-hmm. Is it risky? Is it a lot? A lot of people sure would say so. But in the Pacers' mind, they just got an all-NBA, all-star player to pair next to their young guard that they think is the future. And they see the success that the Kings have had, and they say, well, we can definitely at least be, because that's been the problem with the Pacers. When Tyrese went out last year, they went from being one of the best stories of the season to, I mean, what they ended up with a top 10 draft pick. So I think this, at the very least, turns the Pacers into a legitimate playoff team. And frankly, I mean, they're kind of a bit in the same position the Kings are at, where they're a good team. They're nowhere near the Celtics, the Bucks, the Sixers, the crop of the Eastern Conference, but man, this sure does put them close to being in that conversation, a lot closer than they were 24 hours ago.
And the biggest thing is, it's a gamble. This is from Michael Grange, who writes and does a lot for the Toronto Raptors for Sportsnet in Canada. He writes, okay, Pascal Siakam bewildered and heartbroken by the Raptors' continued efforts to trade him as he remained loyal to the organization. They never planned on offering Siakam a supermax for whatever reason. It was not in their plan. The ages aren't that different, but that's what the Raptors decided, and this is what they got back. They get three first-round picks.
Yeah.
I guess they feel like this timeline is a bit better. That's their decision. Masai Ujiri, maybe he felt like it's just gone on too long and it was too late to kind of peel it back now. We spoke with Sean Woodley a couple weeks ago. He thought that it was a possibility that the Raptors would keep him. Well, it's not.
No.
And he gone.
Yeah.
Okay, Pascal Siakam to the Indiana Pacers, a new big three in the Big East, okay, in the Eastern Conference, as he joins Halliburton and Miles Turner, and Bruce Brown now heads to Toronto with him and Emmanuel quickly. Maybe they're trying to make some simpatico.
I think this is
there.
About future. This is,
and Bruce Brown might
future.
Get moved again, to be completely honest.
Maybe, yeah. Bruce Brown's a nice piece, though. He's like a good just role player. He ended up getting bagged out.
Well, yeah,
summer,
I think he was trying to be a starter, and this might put him back. Hey, Emmanuel's our guy. You're going to have to be the backup. But the big story here, Pascal Siakam It's finally over, okay? This is another one from Woj. We got to get to a break. Indiana is sending two 2024 first rounders and a 2026 first to the Raptors, sources tell Woj. New Orleans send a second round pick to Indiana.
Interesting.
Still don't know what New Orleans got back.
From the Kings' perspective, so now that we know this is what was accepted and we've heard that this deal that the Kings had was centered around Harrison Barnes and draft picks, I would assume that it was probably HB, maybe like Davion, because I think if it's HB and Herter, I think that's a better deal than Bruce Brown and Jordan Nwora with the picks. I would also assume the Kings, I can't imagine three was how many of the Kings. If I had to guess, the Kings probably put two, and they were probably, at least one of those was probably heavily protected.
But there you go. Gotta go. Continue to break down this breaking news. It's done. Just in time for the Kings roundtable. It's finished. No more Pascal Siakam calls. He's in Indiana, and honestly, based on what we're seeing, he doesn't even want to be there. It's a huge gamble with an injured point guard, but Indiana thinks that they can convince him. How do you feel? How do you feel? The Beam regime, Kings fans, how do you feel now that Pascal Siakam is off the table? Maybe more dominoes and more chips will fall. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. The Kings Roundtable, and it's not even an emergency one like we had on Monday, but it is a breaking news-focused Kings Roundtable. As again, Woj, this is 12 minutes ago, hot off the press is how you get it here at Sacktown Sports. Breaking, the Indiana Pacers are finalizing a trade to acquire all-star Pascal Siakam in a deal that will send Bruce Brown, Jordan Nwora, and three first round picks to the Toronto Raptors. New Orleans will be part of the deal as well, sending Kira Lewis to the Raptors. And then, Woj, 10 minutes ago, Indiana is sending two 24 first rounders, a 2026 first to the Raptors, sources said. New Orleans sends a second round pick to Indiana. And we have Brandon Nunez, who is just in all sorts of, he's in a tornado right now of tweets trying to figure it out. So we have Frankie Cardicelli to get us started. Frankie, what are your first thoughts on this deal? Do you feel better now that you know how much it costs? And real quick, Woj, just a minute ago, Pascal Siakam is, now we're hearing two different things. Pascal Siakam is excited about the deal to the Pacers and is expected to be eager to work out a new contract with the franchise this summer, sources tell ESPN. Siakam can be a free agent in July. Well, things change once you really don't have a say, right? And we see this power play with different athletes all the time. And, hey, we want you to be here. We think we're building something special. This is a really exciting guy. You can still be a version of a number one because Halliburton is so pass-focused as well. So now I'll let you go, Frankie.
No, I mean, a lot of emotions, obviously. First and foremost, yes, the trade finally dropped, and we know that, hey, that's what it takes to get someone like Pascal Siakam, whether it's for 40 games or more for the future. And as you just saw, which I think you kind of had that idea when the trade was made, if three firsts is what it was going to take, even if they're not all their firsts, that's a lot of draft compensation to give back. You must feel confident, and there must be some communication with Siakam's agency that he is open to staying in Indiana. We now are seeing that's true. But I'm looking at it this way as far as I think that's another aspect of why Siakam wanted to be in a place like Indiana versus Sacramento or another situation. He gets to be a clear number two now. Mm-hmm. He's a clear number two to Halliburton. Even maybe a one as far as how Tyrese sets up his teammates. He might be the leading scorer on that team.
We've seen him be passive before.
For sure. Like, I think Tyrese being more of a assist guy, which he already is one of the best passers in the NBA, but now you have a guy in Siakam who can go out there and get you 20-plus. I mean, that's going to be really good for Indiana. And again, it's something that kind of shows that Siakam, at his point in his career, he's going to be 30 next season. He wants to be more of a guy in here in Sacramento. He would definitely be more of a three, maybe two, three option and not a clear one. Whereas in Indiana, he's up there with Tyrese. They can both be the leaders of that team and have a really good two-man game as well.
Yeah, I mean, I just kind of brought up there. My initial reaction is this is a lot like the Kings making a move for Sabonis, where it's like, it's a lot to give up, but if you feel like as an organization, like you have an all-star caliber player and you want to get another one, those, as we've seen, those aren't easy to acquire. You got to give some things up. Do you kind of see it in the same way that this is Indiana almost looking and saying, this kind of legitimizes us a little bit more and turns us into a team that's fun and scrappy into a team that, you know, you actually probably have to take at least a little bit seriously, right?
Yeah. No, they needed like a guy, right? I mean, they needed like that other piece. I mean, it kind of the same argument with the, like the Kings when they made the Sabonis trade and kind of where we are back right now as far as the Kings need another like go-getter, like another score, a bucket-getter. They really didn't have that. I mean, Bruce Brown was, I think, a great get for them in the offseason. He's not really that kind of guy though to go get you 20-plus points a game. He's not someone that opposing teams need to like worry about and game plan for, and that's not a knock on Bruce Brown. Just he's not someone like Pascal Siakam who can be a nightmare in a variety of different ways. He can knock down the three ball when he's on. He is a 7-foot wingspan. He can be a lockdown defender when he's engaged. Just a guy that Indiana really, like you said, Chris, they needed a guy to kind of take him to that next step and have people take him seriously. Well, if you want someone to do that, Pascal Siakam is a great guy for it. And probably the biggest name on the trade market now comes off the board. So you have to wonder, how does that change teams' approaches on other big names that are going to be floated up there, like Zach LaVine's and down the line, Jeremy Grant, which we've seen today that there's reports that he probably won't be moved, but you never know. I mean, you never know. But right now we see what it takes to get a star talent, and it's a big haul for the Toronto Raptors.
Real quick too, you know what's crazy is Indiana's still got another move too. So like, I wouldn't be surprised if they're not still in on Zach LaVine. Like they still have Miles Turner and Buddy Hield, yep, which, you know, those guys are pretty much out the door. I mean, especially Buddy.
Miles Turner, huh?
They've been trying to move Miles Turner forever.
It kind of cooled off, though, I feel.
Definitely,
like.
Yeah. And maybe they like the fit with Pascal. Mm-hmm. Maybe they feel like that's a little bit more of a fit. But I would also say that if you didn't like the fit of Sabonis and Turner, how much did we hear in this Siakam, you know, sweepstakes that, well, Siakam and Sabonis are a little redundant. So if they do a lot of the same things, I could see you running into the same problem still in Indiana, but I still think Indiana might have another move to make is where I'm going.
Another big name, and this is per Woj as well, the Jazz seem determined to continue building a roster around Lauri Markkanen long term. So that's another name. Is it actually off the board? Who knows?
Right.
But they want it to sound like it's off the board, well, which might be part of the marketing.
Five first, right? That's the asking price. I think starting at five first-round picks.
What? In this economy?
Yeah, I'm like...
Yeah, it's like, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. But I definitely think that we'll see more movement this trade season. And obviously, that's the big one that has to come off. Yeah. Definitely Pascal Siakam.
Dude, that second first-round pick, too, I was trying to figure out, because you said Indiana sent two 2024 first-round picks.
Yes.
I was trying to look at what that second one that they own. So they own their own 2024 pick. The other one is OKC, Houston, Clippers, or Utah. And I could break down the explanations, but it's way too long. So
it's,
I mean,
it's a lot. It's a lot. How many first-round picks does OKC still have?
I'll look it up
that's,
for you.
That's a team that people are talking about as far as Lauri Markkanen. If a trade was going to happen, the team that has the treasure chest to open up would be Oklahoma City, and that'd be the last thing I think a lot of Kings fans would want to
that
see is
terrible.
Oklahoma, or teams in the West, they want to see Lauri Markkanen joining the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Oh my!
Without
goodness.
Them having to give up too much.
I'm looking at it right now. Just this year, 2024, these are just first-round picks here. OKC has the Clippers with no protection. They have Houston 1 through 4 protected. Utah 1 through 10 protected. They don't have their own this year. In 2025, they have their own. They also have four first-round draft picks in 2025.
But
they have their own, Houston or L.A., Philly, Miami.
They have three this year, though.
They have three this year, four next year.
I feel like they're going to do something.
They're probably going to do something.
Entire rotation.
I mean, I don't – we got to get to a break. It's a question of what do they need. They don't have that true center, right? So is it that? Is it a shooting guard? OKC is interesting because they have so many similar players. What exactly do they feel
right
that they're missing? Got to get to a break. When we get back, we have an appearance, not live, but an appearance from Carmichael Dave, who had some things to say and we react to the Pascal Siakam trade. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Frankie Cardicelli joins us, Sacktown Sports Kings insiders here on Stiles and Watkins, reacting to Pascal Siakam out in Indy. And our own Carmichael Dave had some things to say, and I want to read this off to you guys. This was 11 minutes ago. See if you agree or disagree.
Probably disagree.
It appears Pascal Siakam chose the Pacers over the Kings, if all of the talks were true. Do you feel like that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think looking at this right now, and Mark Spears, to kind of piggyback off of Dave's tweet, Mark Spears, who does a lot of great work on ESPN, says, new Pacers forward Pascal Siakam has got off a phone call with Coach Rick Carlisle and President Kevin Pritchard. Siakam maintains his bird rights with the Pacers, who are expected to re-sign him in free agency. Appears doubtful that Siakam will debut for the Pacers tomorrow in Sacramento. It seems like he had eyes for Indiana. Like he clearly liked the situation. I'm sure he wanted to play for Rick Carlisle, liked his play style, likes the fact that Indiana's got that new, kind of like the offense Kings had last year. They run it, they gun it, they score a lot of points very quickly. He would fit in with that, I think, pretty well. Him and Tyrese Haliburton, again, get to form a good two-man game. So I don't know. I mean, it does seem like, again, just from what guys like from The Athletic said, from what others said, that Siakam was not open to re-signing with the Kings, and I think the Kings saw that and didn't want to leverage their future. Because, again, imagine the Kings made this deal, and they gave up multiple first-round picks, and then he leaves. Like, Indiana, they gave up those first-round picks, but they're probably going to get to keep Pascal Siakam, so it kind of works out in that sense. I mean, I'm not sure if you guys agree, but does that make the deal worth it? If you're giving up three first-round picks but retaining Siakam, does that make this move worth it, in your opinion?
Yeah, but there are just so many contradicting stories out there, because then it was just yesterday, and that's why and Chris and I went on a bit of a rant yesterday just about all the sources and the murmurs and all this stuff, because the whole time it was Siakam saying he's going to test free agency. That just came out yesterday.
Right.
So that's why this Sacramento specific thing always threw me for a loop. Turns out I guess it was true. Ultimately, we'll never know. Maybe he just changed his mind.
Didn't you read earlier today, too, that Pascal had a statement, or his agent had a statement that said he was kind of thrown off by the fact that the Raptors were actively putting him in trade talk so much?
Yeah, it was from Michael Grange, who writes for Sportsnet in Canada.
Right.
And essentially, he was saying this was at 1:13, I'm assuming, their time.
Sure.
So maybe before it was officially done, and this is from the piece. Last week, Siakam was going to be traded to Sacramento. Last night, it was the Indiana Pacers. Eventually, it feels like a deal will be reached and Siakam will be gone, even if sources close to either side have allowed that there remains some possibility, however slim, of Siakam staying with the club. And yeah, it was basically just throughout it saying that Siakam just didn't understand why the Raptors didn't want to sign him to an extension.
And that,
I guess it just doesn't.
That makes me feel like it isn't a King-specific thing, and the rumors or Pascal coming out and saying, I'm going to test free agency no matter what, to me sounds like he's trying to diminish his value to a point where Toronto would want to keep him. They'd say, I mean, they probably weren't expecting to get three first-round picks even with the question mark, but to me that says that Pascal is trying to stay in Toronto. And that's what I always thought his goal was I'm going to the place that I feel comfortable and they can pay me a ton, and really doesn't sound very desirable to go to a situation where it's brand new and I might not be paid. So
here you go. This is more from that piece from Michael Grange of Sportsnet Canada. Siakam's camp has never denied the substance of the report, but pushed back on the notion that the timing of it was calculated on their part, saying that it was the product of a previous conversation, and it was a reporter who resurfaced it at a moment of his choosing. Regardless, by the time NBA Summer League rolled around, it was clear from various league sources Toronto was exploring trade opportunities, making the situation awkward enough that Siakam chose not to come to Las Vegas and train along with most of the Raptors' other returning veterans and meet the incoming rookies. Those close to him say he was both bewildered and heartbroken to varying degrees by the turn of events. So he wanted to stay.
Right.
But wanting to stay, I guess, is separate to I guess he just felt like, you're not going to tell me where I get to go. I wanted to stay, and now you're just going to ship me off. And I guess basically Indiana was able to convince him to stay. And
I'm saying it was all a facade is what I'm saying. Yeah. I think it was all a front of, hey, don't trade for me or else. And then once the trade actually happened, he was like, you know what? I'd much rather get paid.
Yeah. So, I don't know how much of it is Pascal versus – I think it's both. I think it's Pascal and the question marks on his fit offensively. But then I also think it was – the Kings not wanting to give all that up. Maybe it's a different conversation if the Kings, because I don't think they wanted to do three.
Well, it's also like the contract situation, because again, as we talk about how much he's going to help Indiana, but I still don't know if he's a player that's worth $40 million a year, which is probably what he's going to want.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be another thing with Indiana as far as they're kind of hamstring themselves as far as they're paying Tyrese Haliburton max money, which I think kicks in a year or two. Mm-hmm. Miles Turner has a new contract. Like they have that's guys that they're going to be paying a lot of money. And I think on Toronto's side, they probably didn't want to do that for the same reason. They don't want to commit $40 million a year for the next 3, 4, or 5 years to Pascal Siakam, who's going to be 30 next year. They have a nice young core after the trade, especially from the OG and Anobi trade. Now they have Emmanuel Quickley. They have RJ Barrett. They have Scotty Barnes. They have guys that can kind of build around for that new core in the same timeline. And now they'll have some financial flexibility to do things they want to do. They don't have to worry about retaining a player who helped them get a championship, but clearly, Masai Ujiri is moving on from that championship team. And that was the final piece, obviously.
Right.
Fred VanVleet leaves last year. The Raptors didn't want to pay him. Mm-hmm. We all know Kawhi Leonard probably wouldn't re-sign anyway. He went to L.A. because he wanted to go home. And now Siakam's moved on the verge of getting a max deal. So I think a lot kind of goes into play. But if Indiana thinks this is their guy and they want to give him the money, I'm sure Siakam's going to welcome a team that wants to give him that money, because I think that's what was important to him, was getting that deal. So we'll see if it happens.
Can I just say, now that this is officially done too, I'm really glad Pascal's not coming to Sacramento. I really would have had to convince myself. It would have taken some convincing on my end. I didn't think it was the perfect fit. And to me, especially if that was going to be the price tag for him, I just think it would have, like, you're leaving yourself no other option at that point. Like, if you're the Kings and that Pascal move doesn't bring you to a conference title or at least in the Western Conference Finals, then like you're screwed. Like you shift
this
it all
court.
Off.
It's
right,
at
absolutely.
Some point in the punt.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, people change their minds. Okay, when is Haliburton back?
Maybe a week or two.
Okay, yeah. Hopefully he gets back soon. Pascal didn't sign nothing.
Nope.
He could still burn them.
Sure, absolutely.
If this thing doesn't look good, the Pacers
could
still get
tough
burned.
To play for.
Yeah, the Pacers could still get burned. This is not over just because. Oh, nowadays, Frankie, you know I love my college. I don't know why I said Frankie. Chris probably knows better than you do. But oh, I committed. Right, nowadays these kids. Oh, I decommitted. Word of mouth is just that.
Kyrie, we all remember Kyrie Irving. We know multiple situations where he's told fans and
yes.
told.
Yeah. Shout out Boston.
I think it was a fan fest. Yeah.
It was.
I hope y'all will have me if I stay here. Nothing matters till pens on paper.
No.
Or with the DeAndre Jordan, the Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan blocking the door thing. Like, there's nothing that is concrete until that pen is on paper, the physical is completed, and you are officially a part of the team. So, yeah, I think you're completely right, Alan. We don't know what's going to happen with Indiana.
No.
You can fall apart.
As of 11:51, Pascal Siakam is excited. That has nothing to do with how he feels at 11:52.
Right.
He could feel completely different from the 5-3-0.
Wait till he watches Buddy Hield highlights.
No, Buddy, he might be cooking now. The 5-3-0 saying Pascal coming tomorrow with a question mark. We don't believe he
probably
will
not.
Be playing tomorrow.
He might be in the building, but he probably won't play.
Yeah. I would not imagine he'll be playing without getting a practice. He's in Toronto right now. They had a home game tonight. So
really?
Got to travel to California. That's going to be a process. Like, I can't imagine they'd roll him out without having a practice.
And you have now, when you look at the rest of the list, Lauri Markkanen, the Jazz are, according to Woj, not really trying to move him. According to Chris's wishful thinking, Jeremy Grant is not going to be moved either. So now, really, the discussion becomes what's next. And because of these breaking news, we haven't even got to have your thoughts, Frankie. Maybe it's good. Maybe, we can't talk about that terrible loss last night. We have to talk about Pascal Siakam, but do want to get your thoughts on that. But just roughly, just before the break, as we discuss who's left for the Kings, I mean, it's getting clearer and clearer by the moment that it's got to be Dorian Finney-Smith.
That's where you're at today?
That's where I'm at
today. Do you have a trade cooked up?
I'm just going with whatever Brendan said on his article. Whatever that was, just do that.
Definitely a guy that would help the Kings for sure. I mean, again, I'm sure we could talk more about it. Brendan should hopefully be here pretty soon, and he can give us his breakdown on it because I know he did write a piece about Dorian Finney-Smith. But, I mean, yeah, Brooklyn does have a lot of wings that should be on the move. I mean, at least a couple. And the Kings, again, like, I know the room for internal growth is possibly there. At least the organization might think that it's there. But I don't think you can stand completely pat. If you want to keep the majority of this group intact, sure. You don't want to mess with the chemistry. I get that. But whether it's some fringe rotational players or guys you can kind of throw in, you know, obviously the Harrison Barnes spot in the starting lineup needs to be discussed at some point, whether it's moving Trey Lyles in. If that's the most minimal move that there is, you need more out of that spot. But if you're going to go get a player, Dorian Finney-Smith might be, again, like you said, top of the list, could be attainable. I think that they want a first-round pick for him, though. So, again, how tough of a pill is that to swallow? Because the Kings don't really, I think it goes to Atlanta this year, right? There's protection on it.
I think it's 14, top 14.
Top 14 protected. Yeah, I mean, there are some ways you can kind of get around that, but I'm not sure if that's a first-round pick worthy acquisition, in my opinion, personally. But I'd like to kind of save those for something bigger. But if you can get them, get them.
What would you think about Bruce Brown, potentially, if Bruce Brown were to be rerouted? I mean, you know, the Kings clearly have had talks with Toronto, at least, you know, there's that line of communications open. What if the Kings look at Bruce Brown and say, I'm looking at it here, Bruce Brown has a $23 million team option for next season. You know,
team option
for next season.
He's 27.
He's 27 years old, won a championship last year, was a really big piece of that Nuggets team. I mean, what if you say, hey, Harrison Barnes, who makes $17 million, and I don't know, could you do like a Harrison and Davion for Bruce Brown? Do you feel like that's maybe a move that would interest you, or is $23 million too much for a guy who's, I don't want to say a glorified role player, but essentially, I mean, he's a Swiss Army knife, if you will.
I mean, I think if that was a deal that was available, I'd be very intrigued because I think he would help the team. Again, the Swiss Army knife aspect is intriguing to me. And the fact that there's a team option, also intriguing because if you do not love the fit or you want to, you know, free up some money, you can do that. You can renounce his free agency rights and then you free up Harrison Barnes and, I mean, obviously his contract where it would have been, then Bruce Brown's $20 million plus comes off the books too. So if that's an offer that's out there or available, I'm very intrigued about that as well.
Interesting. Got to get to a break just to put it in perspective here when we're talking timelines. RJ Barrett is 23, Emmanuel Quickley is 24, and Scottie Barnes is 22. So Bruce Brown being 27, does that really line up? Do they want the veteran and to pay the veteran that money? They got more younger guys coming in with all their picks. It feels like he might be just a smidge too old for what they're trying to do. And and if it's not this year, they might be trying to move him next year. All right, got to get to a break. More of the Kings roundtable here on Styles and Watkins when we get back. And we're taking it back to the Kings. We'll continue to let people know as you hop in the chat, in the SAC chat, and tune in to us in your car, wherever you are, about Pascal Siakam. But this is Kings talk, and it's Beam talk, and it's the Kings roundtable and what's going on with them. Styles and Watkins, SAC Town Sports.